My left rotator cuff was inflamed, so I've been in pain, taking the maximum painkillers, but still unable to function well. So the sermon that you will hear this morning is birth pain. And we're talking on a topic that might be painful for many of us to hear today about the place of money and possessions. Anyways, good morning again to our first-time visitors. Welcome. We are glad you're able to make it. Our regular members, glad to see you today. So we begin today our sermon series on financial stewardship. Is there a connection between our spirituality and how we view and handle money and possessions? What do you think? Okay. Some people think otherwise. You know, they think that there's nothing spiritual about how we view and handle money and possessions. And so, you know, they go to church, you know, get involved in church activities. But for the rest of the week, when it comes to handling of money and possessions, they treat this as separate from faith. And I think some of us may think that there is a connection, but for the rest of the week, when we live our daily lives, that is not very evident. And how do you know this? So you know what's the test? Well, take a look at your Visa statement. How do you process when you make those big purchases, you know, buying a new car and all that, right? This week, we received two letters from one of the top banks in Canada, addressed individually to me and to Winnie. Seemed like the spirit of Christmas holidays is still upon us. It says, congratulations, be of good cheer. Well, you've been pre-approved for a line of credit. Well, it's a first for Winnie, because all these years, since we came here in 2000, Winnie has not worked in the marketplace. She's a stay-at-home mom, and so she won't be getting any T-slip. You know the T-slip, right? For cooking and looking after our children at home. It still work, but not compensated. And Revenue Canada does not require the issuance of T-slips to those who only receive hugs and kisses from their husbands and children for work done at home. So it's a big leap of faith for the bank to offer her such a line of credit. Don't you think so? How did my wife react to such an offer? Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Han, pakibantayan yung niluluto ko at may titinan lang ako sa Amazon.com. You know, but praise the Lord, that was not Winnie's reaction. In fact, she never bothered to consider it. You see, like many women, my beloved wife likes to shop, but mostly for essentials. We have, she always thinks about the children, you know, Bay and Camille going back, and she looks at their, you know, their jackets are, you know, worn off, so it's cold there, so she tells me these things. We need to buy them, you know, better clothes. We have a relative who once told me and my wife that naging kaibigan na niya yung UPS courier guy. You know, that we have some people who don't speak English. Tagalog. I've come to know the courier guy personally, he said, because he comes to our home regularly to deliver packages ordered by his wife online. And he said, you know what? Those packages are still stocked in our basement. Some are still not open. Anyhow, Winnie and I know that finance matters are matters of faith. There is a relationship between how we view and handle our money and our spiritual lives. The way we think of money and how we handle money and possessions, there is a relationship between how we view and handle money and our spiritual lives. The way we think and handle money and possessions reflect the spiritual condition of our hearts. So we hold each other accountable on such matters as money. Well, a line of credit is basically a loan. It's a debt. And God's word deals with the issue of debt. So as simple as it may appear, deciding whether to accept a line of credit for me and for my wife is a spiritual matter. Now, one of our topics in our sermon series will touch on the subject of debt. That would be another time. We won't do that today. Debt haunts many of us, you know, especially those of us here in North America, where you know it's so easy to borrow. And if you're honest with ourselves, you know, many of us go into debt to sustain a certain lifestyle. You know, we want to get that newest released iPhone or the newest LED smart TV. You want to get the latest car, you know, car model or the SUV or van with all the bells and whistles. Now, about 6 months ago, there was this news item from Global News on a study made regarding the impact of an additional $130 per month in interest payments on debt for a Canadian family. And Global News has calculated that a 1 percentage point rate hike works out to $130 more in monthly debt servicing costs on an average for a family in Canada's median household income of $78,870. Now, according to the study, a staggering 77% of those surveyed admitted that they would struggle to absorb this amount. What this study suggests is that many Canadians are weighed down by debt. Are you part of the statistics? And you know what? As we sink deeper into debt, so do our eye bags. Now, we then turn to the Bible for hope and comfort for the financial troubles we are in due to our own making. And that's good, because the Bible provides word and comfort. But perhaps you may not realize this, but that the Bible also contains very practical advice or instructions on how we should view and handle money and possessions, including debt. That is why we are taking this sermon series on financial stewardship. And I hope that this sermon series will equip us to be better stewards of God's resources. Church, there is a path to true prosperity. But few people know it because we are lacking diligence to study the Bible. The path that many people take is one that is marked by heavy debt to pursue or maintain a certain lifestyle. It is a path that is marked by greed. It is a path that is marked by envy of what others have. It is a path that is marked by stealing from God. Those who travel such path are filled with worry, with anxiety. They are filled with discontentment. They are deprived of joy, deprived of peace. The more they gain for themselves, lay treasures for themselves, for their own pleasures, the more they become possession-possessed or money-possessed. You know, you're familiar with the term demon-possessed, right? All right? No, buti na lang, hindi ako demon-possessed. You know, but there's such a thing as money-possessed. You know, your money controls your life. And sadly, many people taking this path of the world where money is king would realize too late, 5 minutes after they die, that they had walked the wrong path. On the other hand, there is a path to true prosperity. Such path is characterized by contentment. It is characterized by righteousness, by cheerful giving, cheerfulness, by generosity, by freedom from debt, and freedom to give radically and cheerfully. It is a path marked by smart investing for eternity. It is a path that is traveled by a true follower of Christ, whether such follower is rich or poor in this side of life. Will you join me now as before we continue further on this sermon? Father, I pray that you will grant us fertile hearts to receive from you your word today. And I pray that you will speak to us individually as you have spoken to me during this time that I've written down this sermon. So will you anoint my lips now by your Spirit, I pray. Amen. All right, so if you have your Bibles with you, our main text is found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. I also have it here in the slides, just in case you don't have it with you. All right, let me read to you Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Those were the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I divided this sermon into three parts. First, we will look at some reasons why people lay up treasures or lay up for themselves treasures on earth. Okay? Second, we will examine why it is foolish to lay up treasures on earth. Third, we will then look into laying up treasures in heaven. Now, before we get into the first point, let me share some observations about our text. So, in the previous verse in that Matthew 6, our Lord cautioned or warned his disciples about coveting the praise of men. All right? You see, the Pharisees of that day were going through the motions of praying or fasting, but it was all hypocritical. Their inner motive is to be seen by others doing those religious practices was driven by the desire to be praised by men. All right? That's in the previous verse, before our verse. So I just wanted you to see the context here, how this flowed. And, you know, this still happens today, even in churches, but in very subtle ways. Now, but beginning with verse 19, which is our text, our Lord shifts to warning his followers about coveting money and possessions. Now, apparently, the Pharisees at the time were not just coveting the praises of men, but they were also coveting money, which is demonstrated by their laying for themselves treasures on earth. You see, the Pharisees, these are religious leaders, eh? They were lovers of money. Luke noted this in his Gospels, in his Gospel, in Luke 16, where he wrote about our Lord's teaching about money and possessions, specifically the parable of the dishonest manager. He noted that, and it's here in the slide, in it's chapter 16, verses 14 to 15, that as the Lord was teaching this, talk on money and possessions, the Pharisees, who were what? Lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. Now, listen. Having money and possessions per se is not wrong. Let me repeat that. Having money and possessions per se is not wrong. In fact, there are several passages in the Old Testament that describes how the Lord had blessed godly people with material blessings abundantly. Consider Abraham. Consider Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Consider Job, David. Now, if you recall our study of David, remember that? You know, and he started with how he got into a fight with Goliath. If you recall in our study of David's life, he was just a poor shepherd. But in the course of time, the Lord blessed him with abundant blessings. And one of his prayers, and when he was blessed so abundantly, that would be the subject matter of next Sunday's sermon. Now we will hear from David's heart about his view on money and possession. So God is the source of these material blessings. God blessed these men, godly men, with great wealth. But one common thing about them all is that they love the Lord and not their wealth. They loved the giver, not the gift. Last month, Brother Tofi cited Deuteronomy 8:14. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. So it is God who gives us indeed the power to make wealth, to earn, no? By working, by getting into business, etc. So apart from God being the source of the material blessings, He is also the source of our ability to earn or to make wealth. You see this? So He's not only the source of the material things, He's also the source of our ability to make wealth. Now, let me add to that. In 1 Timothy 6:17, it says in part that also it is God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Isn't that wonderful? We truly have a generous God. He gives us material blessings. He gives us the ability to make wealth. And now, according to 1 Timothy, He enables us to enjoy what He has given us. All right? You know, John MacArthur has this to say about God's generosity. He said, God is not withholding from us. I like that. God is not withholding from us. And God is a God of great generosity. In fact, I think if you study the history of the world, you will find that the nations that have been the most godly have known the greatest prosperity. This is generally true. God is a God of generosity. So money or possessions per se are not evil. It is the coveting of money or loving of money that our Lord warns us against. In the Old Testament, you know, the Lord warned his people about forgetting him in their prosperity. Let me read that. Deuteronomy 8, 11 to 14. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest, look at this, when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and lived in them, when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied. You know, your RRSP account, you know, going up and all that. And all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up. I mean, to say, be proud. And you forget the Lord your God. If you read further in verse 19, he says, and if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Church, there is a connection between verse 19 of Deuteronomy 8, or those verses in Deuteronomy that I just read, and Matthew 6:24. What that says, Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So let me repeat, money itself is not the root of all kinds of evils. It is the love of money. Even if you are poor, you say, Benji, Pastor Benji, wala naman akong pera, mahirap lang ako. You know, even if you're poor and you have nothing, you can be madly in love with money. Or if you are rich, they say that we in Canada belongs to the top, I think, 5 or 10% in terms of prosperous people across the world. So our poor here are considered rich in other countries. Or if you are rich, you can also be driven by the love of money, just like a poor person. Now, money can be used for evil, like gambling or buying pornographic materials. But it can also be used for good, like giving to those in need, giving to the work of the Lord for the forward movement of the gospel, giving for the equipping of God's people, etc. What the Bible warns against is in loving money. Hence, the Apostle Paul tells this to Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is what? A root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving. See that word used there? Craving. How many of us are craving for money? It is for this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. And I will share my testimony later on and how this happened to me. Let's now continue by looking at the first point. Why people lay up for themselves treasures on earth. Why? Let me cite some reasons. A few, in fact. First, for some people, like me, before, they've put their self-worth on their net worth. See that? You put your self-worth on your net worth. It's probably be very true for men. Early on in my career as a lawyer, I began to anchor my self-worth on my net worth. In other words, the higher my net worth, the higher my self-worth. And I have not really given this much thought at the time. And even if I did, I would not likely admit that. But as I look back at that period of my life, I clearly see how foolish I was in doing just that, pegging your self-worth on your net worth. You know, there was this interesting secular study made in 2017 by the University of Buffalo researcher Lara Park and her colleagues. The researchers examined, and I quote, what happens when people tie their self-worth to financial success, okay? Using the, you know, this is cool, financial contingency of self-worth scale, okay? They call it FCWS. Now, the outcome of their study showed that those who tie their self-worth to income, and I quote, experience more stress and anxiety and feel less autonomy, meaning to say they're imprisoned, than those who did not tie their self-worth to income, regardless, this is the thing, regardless of their actual economic status. Now, this is what researcher Park says. People in this society are often focused on pursuing money, and they don't think there's nothing bad about that. But in terms of your psychological well-being, there are all kinds of negative consequences, unquote. There were consequences in my case. Consequences to my failure to detect such unbiblical, such demonic thinking. You see, this kind of thinking, placing your self-worth on your net worth, or basing it on how much money you make, or how much deposits you have in your account, or how big your house is, actually this would eventually shape how you are becoming as a materialistic person over a period of time. You know, in my case, by the time I realized this, it was too late. Too late because over time, money and possessions became the gravity of my life. It became the center of my life. All that mattered before, during that period, was money and possessions. And my heart towards God had grown cold or lukewarm at best. I was joy deprived. I was peace deprived. And I was consumed by desire for more that was never satisfied. You know, were it not for God's grace and mercy and the Lord's working in my wife's heart through her obedience to Scripture to submit to her husband, who was carnal, in the hope of seeing him repent of his sins, I will not be here speaking to you today. I probably will not have my three children here. At the time, we only had two babies. And I probably will not see my children here. Because my marriage would have almost ended as part of the statistics of broken marriages. No one has taught me about the place of money and possessions in the life of the Christian. I did not fully understand that God is the owner of all things, that money and possessions are entrusted to us as managers and not as new owners, that wealth is entrusted to us that we may invest them in God's kingdom work in redeeming the world, that wealth is to be used to help those who have nothing in this life to live on, that we ought to invest God's resources for eternity gains, that we will give account someday of what we have done in this life, including how we handle resources entrusted to us, that money and possessions are given to us to provide for our family. But over and above our needs, we must learn to loosen our grip on money and be willing to invest God's resources where He leads us. So when you have those tuggings in your heart by the Spirit of God, don't fight it. Because that money is yours. And I find that the test here, you will never outgive God. I have heard this over and over and over again. And I've experienced this myself. Second, so that's the first one. Lay up treasures for ourselves on earth because we put our self-worth based on our net worth. The other reason is, for some, we lay treasures for ourselves because we believe the lie that money is the source of happiness. And this has become more entrenched in the culture we live in. Why? Because this is depicted in the movies that you watch. This is in TV advertisements. This is in the news. You know, where the wealthy are held up as role models of success. Sadly, there are some of us who took this bait, like I did many years ago. I did not only anchor my self-worth to my self-worth, but I also believed a lie that money and possessions are, you know, the source of happiness in life. But listen. Listen to what the richest man who lived in this planet in the ancient time said. Solomon, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. Ecclesiastes 5:10. Here is one man who kept accumulating wealth upon wealth upon wealth until he was the richest man in this planet. After all is said and done, he said, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." What he was saying is that the love of money only leads to emptiness, uselessness, and meaninglessness. So, self-worth is equal to net worth. That's a lie. Money is equivalent to happiness. That's a lie. Let's look at the third reason why people lay up for themselves treasures on earth. This one is universal to all men and women. We lay up treasures for ourselves because, come on guys, let's admit it. We are all guilty of coveting. Do you know the 10th commandment? It says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Exodus 20:17. How does this look like today? Kapitbahay niyo, wala namang donkey, di ba? Honey, ang ganda naman ng kotse ni kumare. Kailan mo ba ako bibili ng ganung modelo? That's how it looks like today. Uy, napansin mo ba yung suot ni paring Jeff? Ang ganda, no? Parang, saan ko mababibili yon? Right? This is how it looks like. I don't know how to translate that in English. In other words, we try to be like the Joneses. Like, you know, we copy what others have. You know, in most instances, we don't even verbalize this. Just keep this to ourselves. In reality, you know, breaking this commandment is not seen easily. Unlike you kill, you know, and you murder. This one is not seen easily because coveting takes place inside the heart. Only God can see it. But I think coveting is one of the reasons why people are in the frenzy of laying treasures for themselves. It arises from a covetous heart. All right. So now that we have looked at the reasons why people store up treasures for themselves on earth, let's move on to the second point. Reasons why it is foolishness to lay up treasures for ourselves on earth. Oh, I hope you will be convinced with this, and we will be convicted of this. It is foolishness to store up for ourselves treasures on earth. There are two reasons cited by our Lord in our text why it is foolishness to lay up treasures for ourselves on earth. The first reason is that our money and possessions are prone to decay. Let's look at our text. Do not lay up for yourselves on earth where moth and rust destroy. You know, rust pertains to the oxidation, corrosion, or tarnishing of metals. It is said that rust not only pertains to corrosion, but to, you know, wood rot and the like. So the general idea here is that material things are subject to decay over time. Yeah, we bought this fine furniture. Oh, Lord, forgive me for this. But we did purchase this very expensive dining set when I was working for the government in Alberta. You know, when you taxes are low. No taxes. No taxes. Low income tax. Government, you know, ganda ng sweldo. Pension, wala na, you're made. And so when we went shopping, I said, honey, you know, we live in a very nice subdivision. We live in a 2,600 brand new home. We should buy a furniture that is commensurate with a home. You look, the CUS will be coming to my home. You look at the chairs that I have now. They look so ugly already. The second reason is that, so that's the first, they're prone to decay. The second is that we will inevitably lose our money and possessions. We will. Now for some, they will lose this to what? Wrongdoings such as theft or deceit. You know, estafa in the Philippines, this is so common, you know, estafa cases. This is what I used to practice, eh? Others, it may be a business reversal. You know what the Lord used here was thieves, right? Where the thieves come in and steal. You see, during the time, they don't have a TD Canada Trust or Royal Bank to put their treasures. It's usually in metals, gold or silver. And what they do is they hide these under the floor of their homes, you know, made of what? Clay. So what the thieves would do is they dig. So they dig and they steal. So that's why you also read how thieves are also referred to as diggers. So it can be a business reversal, or due to natural calamities such as flood or fire. Or loss can take place through lawsuits. Happy naman yung mga abogado. If loss does not happen, now I say, Pastor Benji, hindi mangyayari sa akin yan. Okay, let's assume it's not gonna happen in your lifetime. But loss will happen the moment you die. You don't bring your money and possessions with you when you die. I'll never forget what I witnessed a few weeks before my father passed away of cancer. As his health rapidly deteriorated and he became weaker and weaker each day, I remember I was in the room, in the bedroom, with him and with mommy. And my dad called my mom and said, honey, Bing, can you look for my passbook? It's a Philippine, I still remember, Philippine Veterans Bank passbook. Not heard of that, eh? I don't know if that bank still exists. Philippine Veterans Bank. And he said, as mom handed it to him, he did not take it. He asked my mother to withdraw the entire balance. Daddy knew he will not be long. He will not be around very long. And to this day, that memory had been etched in my mind and heart. And whenever I remember that, I loosen my grip on money and possessions. As a matter of fact, this week, as I was writing this sermon, there were those nights when I was, two nights in particular, that I could not sleep because of extreme pain. And what entered my mind were some friends who were dying of cancer because of pain. You see, I'm looking forward to the time that I will recover, hopefully this week. But some of them have to go through chemo. And with a stage 4 cancer, I don't know how much time you have left. It reminded me of my mortality. And I think about this. The moment I breathe my last, I will not bring any single penny with me. I pass all this on to Winnie. Whether during your lifetime or when you die, you will leave behind money and possessions. You cannot take them with you. Listen, have you ever seen a hearse? You know what's a hearse? Kung saan sinasakay yung namatay? Tapos sumusunod yung tayo, umiiyak. Have you ever seen a hearse pull a U-Haul trailer containing the personal effects of the deceased? May nakita na ba kayo doon? There's a video I want us to watch entitled Trailer Hitch by Christian Bush. It's a short trailer, but I thought it was interesting. Let's watch that. Thank you. Well, I thought it was like a good trailer. It shows that the emphasis there was that you cannot bring with you you can't bring it with you. He says, when you go, you know, Christian doesn't use the word die, but that's basically what he means. You can't take it with you when you die. Now, the song suggests that you cannot take your money and possessions, therefore give them away. But there's a smarter way than that. Store them for treasures in heaven. Randy Alcorn, in his book, The Treasure Principle, puts it this way. Send them ahead, since you cannot take money and possessions when you die. But you know, my version is invest them for eternity. Which brings me to my third and last point. So we've looked at the reasons why people lay up treasures for themselves on earth. We have looked at the reasons why it is foolishness to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth. And now let me take you on to the third point. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Let's look at our passage again, okay? In verse 19, the Lord warns us against compiling and hoarding wealth for ourselves on earth. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Now in verse 20, he says this, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth or rust, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Aren't you shocked by that? I was. Do you see what he's saying here? You mean the Lord? That's okay with the Lord about storing up treasures? Yes, but you have to store those treasures on the right place. The effect to me on this was, Benji, I want you to store up for yourself treasures in heaven, treasures that last for eternity. They are treasures that will not be subject to loss or decay. You know, put your name in that blank space there. Make it personal and you will appreciate the impact of this verse to you personally. You know, reflecting on this passage had helped me view God in a different light this week. Consider this. In the first place, it is God who owns everything in this world. If you believe you own part of it, like your clothes or your cell phone, well, you ask your mother when you came out of her womb, did you come up with a Carter's brand clothing? Did you come up holding a cell phone? The truth is, you and I came into this world with nothing. And we will leave this world with nothing. As Job said, I will die. Steve Jobs, with all his billions, when he died, zero, nothing. But God provided for all that we need. You know, starting with milk from our mother, protection from our moms, etc. As we grow into adulthood, he gives us the ability to earn, to work, to make wealth, to support our families, and etc. He sustains us for all our needs. Now, as I said not only is God the source of all material blessings, he also gives us the ability to make wealth. And as we have learned earlier, he blesses us even to be able to enjoy what he has given. And now, from our text, God also wants us to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Isn't he indeed a very generous God? Question is, how do we lay out for ourselves treasures in heaven? there is an essential condition that is absolutely necessary for this to happen. What is it? The Lordship of Christ in your life. If you have not surrendered your life to Christ as Lord and Savior, this is not going to happen. You have to decide whom you are going to love and serve. It's either Christ or Mammon. It cannot be both. There is no third option. And our Lord is very clear on this in Matthew 6:24 that I read earlier. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. Now notice too that the laying of treasures, whether in earth or in heaven, in verses 19 and 20, is closely linked to verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, if Christ is the Lord of your life, He is your treasure. And because He is your treasure, you will view and handle your finances in a manner that is consistent with His Lordship of your life. That is, in accordance with His teachings and commands. And in obeying His teachings and commands, He promises to reward those who obey Him. Okay, you know where I'm getting into this. For instance, let me point this out. When you go about your work, how does this look like in day to day? When you go about your work, whether at work, you know, like serving food or refreshments in a restaurant, stockpiling, delivering packages, preparing reports, or at home, you know, cooking, cleaning, mopping the floor, etc. We are to do our work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. That is found in Colossians 3:23. So if it is Christ whom we are serving, we do so in excellence. That's why you say, why is this guy so good at what he's doing? And then you learn later he's a Christian. Is he doing it for you? No, he's doing it for Christ. That's why he's excelling. Is doing it in the posture of worship. When I do my sermon prep, I don't do this as I would normally do an investigation report before. And I mean a case before, like when I was practicing. Because over time, I've developed that conviction that whatever we do, we are to do it over time. So this takes place over time. Now, I've memorized this verse, Colossians 3:23. And whenever I start to complain or I feel like not doing it or developing a negative attitude towards work, I recite this to remind myself. Now, but don't stop on verse 23. There is verse 24. It says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive what? The inheritance as your reward. In other words, you will be rewarded for this. Another example is found in Matthew's gospel regarding receiving the disciples of Christ. Okay, let's read this. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, but he will by no means lose his reward. So when you extend hospitality to God's people, you will be rewarded. So those of you who are opening your homes to God's people in the name of Christ, you are laying up treasures in heaven. You know what? I've chosen these illustrations. These are the small ones. You want more? We don't have time. The whole picture here I want you to see is that as we obey Christ in all areas of our lives, okay, that is how we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. I don't want to just focus on, you know, tithing, for example. You know, you tithe and God will bless you. Well, tithing is just one. You understand? Tithing is basically, you read the context of Malachi, was it 10? 3. The context there is that they were stealing from God because they were not giving their tithes. What's the context there? I will be preaching on this next Sunday. God owns everything. So if you withhold something from Him, you're actually stealing from Him. That's why God begins with the words, "Will you rob God? But you rob me." You understand? So that's just a part of this. What I want you to understand is that the whole of Scriptures, all the teachings and the instructions of the Lord, we must be faithful in obeying them as part of laying treasures in heaven. So simply put, in walking and submitting to the Lordship of Christ, in obeying His teachings and commands, we are laying for ourselves treasures in heaven. Let me now go to my reflection. Here are some questions to help us process what we have learned from these passages. Again, what we did was, number one, we look at the reasons why people build treasures for themselves here on earth. Number two, why it is foolishness to do that. And number three, we looked at what it means to lay treasures for ourselves in heaven. What is the preoccupation of your life? What do you think about most of the time? How about your time planning? Where is your energy directed to most of the time? Is it in owning a house or condo? Perhaps a car, a gadget, or a new kitchen, a growing bank account, investments, furniture, a cruise, vacation, a thing? Where is the place of money and possessions in your life? Honestly, where is the place of money and possession in your life? Is it at the center? Is it what you live for? Does money control you? Have you anchored your self-worth to your net worth? Think with me for a moment. If you are stripped of every penny and every possession, how would your heart respond? Will it be the end of the world for you? Will your heart be able to say the words of Job? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, we make decisions every day. And many of those decisions involve finances. Behind each decision is the heart. Hence, every financial decision we make reflects the heart. And I invite you, consider how you're viewing and how you're handling your money and possessions. Remember, that is the Lord's money and possessions that you have in your possession. It's loaned to you. But He wants you to invest that for eternity, to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. This means making financial decisions that are in line with His will in the Bible. And we will go through this in our sermon series. Like giving to those who are in need. Investing in God's kingdom work so that the gospel of Christ will spread not just here in Lower Mainland but throughout BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Western Canada, Eastern Canada, North America, throughout the ends of the earth. Don't procrastinate in deciding who to love and serve. Listen, this is where you start. Choose you this day who you will serve. If you procrastinate, your default and my default is to love and serve money. Make a choice. Decide. And I pray that you will choose and decide wisely. Remember, as the Lord says, we cannot serve two masters, for either we will hate the one and love the other, or we will be devoted to one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and money. To those of us who have made that decision and who are making those decisions day by day, consciously, hey, look, this is a process. This is not an overnight thing. You see yourself loving money, you dethrone that God. God, forgive me. You repent and make Him again be the Lord of my life. As you are doing this daily, you have decided to follow Christ. You have chosen well. For He is a real treasure. For you are storing for yourself treasures in heaven. Keep walking in obedience to His teachings. Put them into practice. And in so doing, you will lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven to the glory and to the praise of God. Amen.